Ladies and gentlemen, thinkers and debaters, fence sitters and firebrands, welcome to the Big Top of Talk, the high-flying, death-defying, no-holds-barred spectacle of ideas. This is Common Ground, where left meets right, up meets down, and common sense fights to survive. We're here to cut through the noise, bridge the divide, and maybe, just maybe, find a little middle ground along the way. So grab your coffee, buckle up, and keep your hands inside the conversation at all times. Because it's time for open minds, open dialogue, and maybe even a little common ground for the common good. Here are your hosts, Melissa Lucas and Scott Goodman.
All in the same boat. We can all believe what we believe. Peacefully agree.
Hello and good morning. Scott Goodman here with Melissa Lucas, and welcome to another episode of Common Ground on KNTR Talk Radio, 106.75 and 3, Voice of the Free. Catch us here every Tuesday at 10 a.m. instead of 9 due to daylight savings until spring. All right, everybody, here's a scenario for you. You and your family are asleep in your home when you're awakened by the sound of breaking glass and footsteps. Scared and alarmed, you call 911 and plead for assistance. The dispatchers respond by telling you one of the following things. Scenario 1, we have police on the way. Stay in your room. They should be there shortly. Number 2, we don't have any officers available right now, but we will send them when we can. Be safe. Number 3, we have alerted our unarmed safety officers for your area, and they will talk to the intruders. Scenario 4, we can help with this, but try asking them to leave. This is no joke. Currently, you can rely on our system of protection and response to provide the services we need to address most of the emergencies we could encounter. We have some on the radical left and not so radical left calling for sweeping changes in the way emergency services and law enforcement is structured. We also have some on the radical right and not so radical right implementing and wishing to implement different sweeping changes on how law enforcement is also structured. Now we are faced with the prospect of defunding, replacement, elimination, expansion, it's all over the map. Both sides are trying to vie for change, and conversely, we're trying to see which changes may work for us. We will be discussing this today with our guest and friend, Dr. Paul, on our show, and we'll try to find common ground on KNTR 106.75 and 3, Voice of the Free. Melissa, how about letting our listeners know about our staff that makes this show happen, and let our listeners know how to reach out to us, featured on KNTR Talk Radio, and our wonderful sponsors.
Good morning, Scott. Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me now? All right. Well, I want to do a quick shout-out real fast to our Common Ground sponsors. So thank you so much for your support, Blonzy Steakhouse, Golden Valley Auto Parts and Hardware, Annie's Thrift Shop, Martin Swanee, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Kia, Neat Pool and Supply, Tradeside Firearms and Trading Company.
Trailside.
Yeah,
that's those guys.
Stubby's Red Wagon Barbecue, and Parker's Collision Center. Thank you so much for your support.
Parker's a new sponsor.
Mm-hmm. And remember, if you're traveling through the tri-state, you can listen to us on 106.3 in Golden Valley and Kingman, 106.5 in Laughlin, Bullhead, Mojave Valley, Needles, and 106.7 live right here in Lake Havasu City. Also, three of our sponsors are also locations for your chance to win a four-day pass to Country Thunder. You can enter today at Martin Swanee Kingman, Annie's Thrift Store, or Trailside Firearms. Visit them for more details. All right, you guys, you can text us in at 928-727-5566 or call in at 928-854-5687 and join the conversation. Marissa June, our producer, Red Bull Ronnie, our co-creator, and Paul Lavoie, our operations manager, along with Scott and I, would love to hear from you.
You betcha.
All right.
Dr. Paul. You heard my monologue. Where do you want to start today? Don't beat me up too bad.
Number four?
No, I don't want to go through the numbers.
You don't want to go through the numbers?
No.
That was a little
you go through the
unnerving.
Numbers.
Number four was a tad scary for me. You guys just work it out, and we're sending you our good vibes.
Well, see, I think we're becoming a military state. So I think there's way too much in the way of police and regulation, and I made a list of all the people you can call in an emergency, but it starts with like local police and then sheriffs and then eventually National Guard, Border Patrol, ICE. You can call in the military. You can call in. I mean,
we
can't never
call
ends.
It. We can't call.
We just right. call 911.
But they're all ready to go. They're in Democratic states almost all, you know, exclusively. So if you're a Trump and you're above any type of recourse, if you want to send in folks, you got every availability in the world to be able to go after people. There's too much of it.
Well, so
but I'm thinking no more funding, drop back, let's
defund the police.
No, we're starting with ICE.
Oh.
You know, with ICE, that's the one that's up right now.
Okay, so.
Police is, you know, there's police everywhere. And there's sheriffs everywhere. And there's
lots,
know,
of law enforcement.
Lots of law enforcement around.
So here's an interesting thing just to bring up about ICE. Okay. For weeks and weeks and weeks, it was ICE, 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 ICE. Everything was about ICE.
Right, right.
Then Nancy Guthrie got kidnapped. Or abducted or whatever the situation is. And now in the news, that's all you hear is Guthrie, Guthrie,
yes,
Guthrie.
Yes.
ICE has vanished almost from the headlines. And we already have a call. That's pretty quick.
Welcome to the show, caller.
Hello?
Hello?
Go ahead.
Am I the one?
Yeah.
You are on.
You are on.
Very good. Okay. Well, I live in a rural area, 6-foot fence. Four dogs. I could use a shotgun if I want.
Right.
I guess I don't have an intruder problem.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And that's
right.
Simple. Yeah, Dr. Paul. Yeah, right. I understand that. And I don't see a problem except that Kingman's city limits is actually limiting the number of dogs. And actually neighbors don't like their neighbors next door or something to have dogs. So,
well, in reference to our topic caller, what do you have
go
to
ahead.
Say? What do you have to say? We live in a rural area. We live in I call it Havasu here in Havasu.
Okay.
Where
you're Havasu.
Right.
Yeah.
Where there's little impact of what goes on nationally when it comes to ICE and all these things in our home here.
Correct.
So every place is different. Every environment is different. You feel safe. I actually feel very safe where I'm at. I don't worry about that.
Yeah,
but you get to cities, though. That's a different story.
Well, let me say a couple
but
words about that.
You have a limitation. That. Yeah, Havasu has limitations also as far as the number of dogs. But actually, Havasu appears to be a safer environment than even Kingman. So
it is.
It's pretty safe. Yeah.
Well, I do appreciate your call and keep on listening.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I do.
Go ahead, Dr. Paul. You have something you want to say, so say it out loud.
You know, I was kind of looking into some of this. This is a great show because it causes me to research things.
Sure.
Do you know how much it costs us to have one ICE person in a city where they're really not wanted?
$80,000 to $120,000 a year,
per person, per day.
No.
Oh.
Per annum.
Well, we don't want them there for a year.
Okay, how much is it per day?
$600.
$600 a day.
Every day for thousands of people that the governors usually are saying, listen, if we have a problem, we'll call you. We don't need you to be here. This is not a national emergency. This is retribution on the part of the president. This is a president that basically says, you didn't vote for me? I'm going to make your life miserable.
So on that note, 9 million, the estimates are anywhere between 5 and 12 million illegal aliens entered our country in a four-year period. Apprehending the criminal element of those is not an important function of the federal government?
It has been forever. This is nothing new.
Well,
do you know who the most successful
president
deportation?
Obama.
Yeah.
I do my research.
So,
I know how
right.
to do.
So
he
why?
Was the most successful, and he never had ICE, and it didn't cost
so
a whole lot of money.
Obama didn't have ICE?
No, he had Border Patrol.
Well, ICE wasn't really in existence. I believe it was 2003 when ICE was created. So here's the deal.
George W. Bush, 10 million he got out. Barack Obama,
8 million, I think.
Donald Trump, 3.3 million.
And how about
Joe Biden? 4.4 to 4.7.
Wow.
Right.
But he let in 11.
Well,
so
whatever number.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's hard to document undocumented.
But you're basically, see, the assumption that we get into is, boy, oh boy, they're coming over the borders and they're just going to invade us and they're going to take over and they're going to bankrupt us. This hasn't happened in a very, very, very long time. So we've got a system that's built upon developing a problem that doesn't even exist.
So I have a problem.
And everything
with that.
Else is kind of like secondary. Let's make sure we go after all these rapists and murderers. And if the rapers and murderers are dealt with all the time by police.
Sure. But let me ask you a question, Dr. Paul, just you personally. Sure, you read off some statistics on illegal aliens being apprehended and deported.
Right.
How can you explain the million plus over and over again, month after month, of undocumented aliens that came in during the Biden administration? Do you see floods of them literally streaming down the through the border? And yet 8 months, now we're pushing 9 months straight of zero releases and almost nobody crossing the border, when Biden himself said there's nothing we can do without an act of Congress. Well, Trump didn't have an act of Congress, and he shut the border down. So explain that. How did that happen?
What happened during the Biden administration, in my opinion, is that we basically sent a mixed message to people that are desperate.
Wait, mixed messages? Direct messages. Come here, we'll take you in.
No, mixed messages.
Okay.
Yeah.
You run with that one, Dr. Paul.
It wasn't like there was people at the border that were saying, come on over. They were in camps. They were
in
let
other
in,
countries.
They were vetted. Matter of fact, you know, the biggest problem was people that were already here that overstayed their
okay,
visas.
We're getting off topic. Let's get back to law enforcement.
So you're saying that the Trump administration is weaponizing ICE
as a big thing.
Retaliation for the previous administration.
That's
interesting.
And anybody who really, I tell you all, I don't fit into the Republicans, Democrats. I'm an American first. But I look at the situation, I say to myself, this is the first president I can remember that just goes after enemies.
And oh, yeah.
What he's done, really, is go after cities and states that didn't vote for him almost exclusively. And almost everyone that's there is saying, we don't want you here. All you're going to do is cause more problems.
Okay, Dr. Paul.
It's basically bankrupting us. Folks that are there, they're not trained. They're in disguise. They look like they're Martians. They're doing way more damage than they are good.
I'm going to interrupt you.
Interesting. I have a question for Scott.
Go ahead.
Do you think, in your honest opinion, Scott, has Trump weaponized the DOJ in any 100%. Way?
100%.
Yes.
Okay.
But
let me finish the question. So you do think that Trump weaponized the DOJ. Why would he not weaponize ICE then?
He is weaponizing ICE. But let me explain and qualify this and understand this. It's like the first time this has ever happened. Two impeachments, multiple attempts to drive him out of office. Everything that Trump did on his first term was being squashed by the second term. Biden weaponized just like everybody else does.
Can we talk about that?
About what, Biden weaponizing the DOJ?
Well, we could talk about that, or we could talk about, is Trump a victim? I know you think I got
No, I don't think Trump is a victim. I think
Trump... think I've got the Trump derangement
syndrome? Well, maybe, a little.
I think that Trump...
Everything they went after him for, they should have gone after him
They're
for.
Probably going to develop a vaccine
for that, you
know?
The only thing that's different about Trump and other presidents is Trump is smarter. He never does anything directly himself. He puts a layer of
He insulates himself.
That's a better word.
So think about this.
So when you try to... You bring him into court, or you bring him before a panel, or you do whatever, you know, what you end up talking about is Stephen Miller, or you end up talking about, you know, all these other spokespeople that he has in between him. And was he guilty of those? Of course he was guilty
need to get back on topic.
Sure.
On topic is something really simple here.
Okay.
We have two different camps offering two different ways of looking at law enforcement as a whole.
Right.
Are both of them wrong? Are both of them right? Neither of them are right, because there is not a safe compromise that ensures the safety of our citizenry and protects our citizenry at the same time, not stamping on the rights of the people. Okay, so
can I ask you a question about that?
Of course.
Okay, are citizens basically safe?
I feel
depends
safe.
On where you
it
are.
Depends where you are.
I was in Portland last night.
Chicago.
Yeah, I don't know of many places that would say we're not safe. You know, that we have to have a militarized government come in and take care of us. Even Chicago.
So
they did not invite or ask or, you know, demand.
Do you know
that
who Mario
and protected? If they did, the National Guard should do it. The National Guard, if there's an emergency, that's their job. They're standing
by. Listen, we're going to wrap up this segment shortly, but we'll get back to talking about this heated subject on KNTR Talk Radio. Don't forget to call us, KNTR Talk Radio, 106.7, 5 and 3.
Voice of the free.
You got it.
All right, before we go to break here, we are giving away a pair of Saturday passes to Rockabilly Reunion. So if you would like those, please call our office at 928-855-9336. That is 928-855-9336 for a pair of Rockabilly passes for this Saturday.
Welcome back to Common Ground, right here live on 106.75 and 3, Voice of the Free. Text us in at 928-727-5566 or call in at 928-854-5687.
Marissa. All right, we're going to give a shout-out to our sponsors that makes this show possible, starting with Blonzi Steakhouse, mouth-watering steaks and a breakfast menu that has everyone talking. Whether it's date night or brunch with friends, great taste is always on the menu. Blonzi's is where Havasu eats, off London Bridge Road in Desert Hills. Next, we have Golden Valley Auto Parts and Hardware. They're the small-town store with the biggest auto and hardware selection in the area. Find what you want online at goldenvalleyhardware.com and pick it up in-store today, just off Bobie Road in Golden Valley. Annie's Thrift Shop. Shopping at Annie's Thrift Store isn't just about great deals, it's about giving back. Every purchase helps support local charities, making your find more than just a bargain. It's a blessing. Annie's Thrift Store, thrifting with a purpose. And Martin Swanee Chrysler Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Kia. Since 1985, Martin Swanee Kingman has been more than a dealership. It's a legacy built on honest deals and handshakes. Celebrating 40 years of doing right by folks one happy driver at a time. Off East Andy Devine in Kingman.
Why, thank you.
Thank you. All right. I just looked up which states have the highest ice presence. It's Texas, Florida, and California.
Okay. So Texas is a, I would believe, is a red state, virtually red.
What about Florida?
Florida is a very red state. So here, I'm gonna tell you on the air, so everyone who listens to our show will understand this about me. We have focused in on ice as being the face of dissent among Americans today. We're not talking about local sheriffs. We're not talking about local police departments. They're doing their job every day. And the thing is about ICE, there's such a schism, such a divide between the way ICE should be deployed. Now, Dr. Paul, you brought up a very valid point. You know, why are they on the streets, you know, raiding houses and all that? One of the main reasons why ICE has such a large presence, they're being attacked. Their facilities are also being attacked. Their vehicles are being attacked. So they are in many ways also defending themselves. If they're not going to lay down and let them abuse them. They're being accosted in many cases, not all the cases, but many cases.
Scott, they're being set up to fail.
How
they're
did
being
border
put
patrol
in places where they resent, where people resent them being there? How would you react if somebody came in and broke up your family, or grabbed your child, grabbed your wife, grabbed anybody they wanted to because they're a certain color or they spoke a certain kind of a way?
And oh, but not if you do it being illegal.
All of a sudden, you know, it's you're guilty until you're proven innocent. Where did that come from?
Well, I'm going to say when they cross the border illegally, with no paperwork, undocumented, with no vetting, and the ICE officer comes into a home and asks for documentation, and they have none, and they came here illegally, they broke the law. They're under the jurisdiction of federal law at that point and are being apprehended because they're in violation of federal law.
What does that have to do with being rapists and murderers? We always had a procedure for dealing with that. Somebody shouldn't be in this country. For decades, we had procedures that we could basically take them forward and say, okay.
You're absolutely correct, but guess what happened?
What happened?
When sanctuary cities and sanctuary states refuse to allow ICE officials to go to the jails to bring in and take away the really bad criminals, they were being released again because of no cooperation between the state and local officials and the federal government. They would not let ICE come into the jails to take bad guys away. Instead, they would release them, and then the ICE officers would either follow them or find out who they were, and they were trouble getting that information to go apprehend them secondarily after they've already been apprehended once.
We'd have to look for statistics on this.
Okay.
But I think everybody agrees the bad guys should go.
100%.
I have a question.
Yeah. How did Border Patrol do it for all those years with all those millions of people that were deported? How did Border Patrol do it without getting attacked? What's the difference?
What they did was just go through a vetting procedure. You know, you've been south of the border or you've been north of the border. You kind of seen how it works.
So if ICE is new, and before we had ICE, we were deporting way more than we're deporting right now, according to the statistics that you read of you know, previous administrations.
Right.
Wouldn't it make sense just to go back to Border Patrol and do it that way?
I'd like Border Patrol. You know, we have to have a border.
You personally feel different between ICE and Border Patrol?
Oh, big time.
So
these guys are scary.
Before we had ice,
they
before,
got masks.
Before scary ice,
they got
the boogeyman.
Before scary ice, how did Border Patrol get those 10 million people out of the country then? Did they go
Would you
to,
like to know how?
Yes, I would.
I can answer that question.
Okay.
Did they go to schools
and pull
No, it was real simple. These people would cross the borders, not in the recent administration, but prior to that.
Right.
They would come across the border and they would get signed up to have a court date. Now, here's the deal. The court dates were way off, years and years off before they could actually see a court, but they were in the system. What that means is once their visas, temporary visas, expired, they knew who they were and where they were in many cases, and they were able to apprehend them.
That's exactly what
So that is exactly how it played out.
And that worked for many years?
It worked relatively well.
Without civil unrest and all of the...
In my opinion, Melissa, who had the best single plan for dealing with this? Ronald Reagan.
Okay.
Because he was dealing exactly with what Scott said. You know, most people come in legitimately, and they overstay their welcome. They overstay. They don't go through.
Well, they have a temporary visa.
And then they don't get a court date, and they should have gotten, you know, vetted within that period of time, so they should go back.
And then reapply again.
I probably, if I was in their situation, you know, in all honesty, I probably would have done the same thing. Both of my parents were.
We have a text, but before we go to the text, I want you to listen to this very carefully before we go to the text. Here's the deal. The recent administration did not do much vetting that they did in the past, okay?
Right.
They did not set up court dates. They basically, what they did is they processed them in. Gave them blankets, gave them food, gave them locations to be bused to, facilities to stay in, but they didn't do the process of getting them in court. That was where the problem lies. These people are, they don't know who they are. They talk about 300,000 unidentified children. Okay, there's a reason they're unidentified. They never checked them in. These people were never vetted and checked in.
Yeah.
So that's what the difference is. They can't find, so hence ICE. ICE is now on a scavenger hunt, effectively looking for illegal aliens and criminals with very little information to go on.
Well, then how do you do that without racial profiling and getting the wrong people then?
Go ahead. We have a text.
Okay, so text, yes. Barack Obama is commonly known as the deporter in chief.
Yes,
he was.
The difference is Trump is president, so now those people that supported Obama are now against deportations because Trump is doing it, because Trump is president.
No. Let me respond to that.
Okay.
Everybody agrees upon an orderly way to get people out of the country that shouldn't be here. Everybody agrees upon that. The only difference is Obama and others respected the rule of law. This president does not respect the rule of law.
Okay.
On our break, you said it just perfectly. There's a rule of law, and there's one guy at the top, and he basically...
Yeah, there's a process. It's a ladder.
Yeah. And how does that ladder work, Scott?
It's basically he's standing at the top rung and shooting down orders all the way down. It probably goes from him to Bondi and then to the field.
Right.
There's not much...
So there's no rule of law.
Well, there is rule of law. They're just bypassing aspects of it. But here's what I want to tell you.
That's not America. That's not democracy.
Hold on. What choice?
That's crazy.
Hold on, Dr. Paul.
We're turning our beautiful country into a militarized zone.
What choice does a president like Donald Trump have when you have millions of people that were not vetted? And they're dangerous criminals, the Trinity, Ottawa, but they don't know who they are. They don't know which ones are the bad ones. So when they go into a home with ICE and take away a husband or a mother from a household because they find that these people are bad criminals, and there's blowback, there's unintended consequences.
Let me ask you something about that, Scott. What percentage of the people that you think he's gone after so far are what you described, these hardened, bad, rapists, killers? What percentage would you
Well, get? I'm going to tell you right now, there's vague statistics out currently on how many have been deported.
Well, I want to know how many are...
If I was to throw an educated guess out there, I'd say 20%.
Oh, God. See, I'd say less than 1%.
Oh, no, I'd say 20%. One out of five people are bad people. But here's the good news.
Everybody's been after them. When it came, you remember when they were after MS-13, I think it was?
Sure.
During his first term, everybody was in agreement. Get rid of these gangs. Get rid of the bad guys. And you also got local sheriff and National Guard. Let's go after them.
You're 100% right. But here's the problem. We don't know who the hell they are.
Well, pretty
good. Because our previous administration,
if you were in El Salvador, you know who they are.
Just let them all in.
Didn't let them all in.
Didn't vet them. Didn't get identification. Didn't set them up for court dates. Didn't set them up for immigration interviews. Nothing. They just said, "Here we are. I'm coming into your country, and here we'll welcome you with a.
You're making it. So you're
we're making you with gift cards.
Crazy.
We'll make you. We'll welcome you with gift
come
cards.
On now.
Hotel stays, shelters,
come
food.
Come on now.
Well, that didn't happen.
No, you're exaggerating.
Well, no, I'm just exemplifying aspects
of
the previous administration.
No, you're exaggerating.
Well, I don't know about that, but listen, we're gonna catch up to this and much more. Hey, listen. Give it a quick call.
Yeah,
shout
yeah,
out numbers.
Yeah, text us in, you guys. Fact check us here. 928-727-5566 or call in at 928-854-KNDR.
Common Ground 106.75 and 3.
Voice of the Free.
See you in a minute.
Welcome back to Common Ground, right here live on 106.75 and 3, Voice of the Free. Marissa, what you got for us?
All right, we're going to give a shout-out to our last sponsors that make this show possible, Neat Pool and Supply, serving Lake Havasu since 1970. From expert consultations to top-notch supplies and service, they've got everything for pools and spas. Family-owned and operated right in the heart of Havasu. It's where your backyard oasis begins at 52 Scott Drive. Trailside Firearms and Training Company. Buy, sell, trade, new iron, old iron, full collections, and if you're looking something for special or hard to find, Trailside makes it happen. Getting a fair deal and what you want today. This is the trail you take. TrailsideFTC.com, Main Street, Havasu. Stubby's Red Wagon Barbecue, where the barbecue is slow, the smoke is thick, and Hank the Tank, the propane pig, silently judges you while you eat. Award-worthy barbecue voted best in Havasu. Behind the cigar bar, corner of Scott Drive and Main Street is Stubby's Red Wagon Barbecue. And we have a new sponsor this week, Parker's Collision Center. Locally world famous, they accept all insurances. Parker Collision is the only stop in Mojave County with a state-of-the-art paint booth big enough for RVs to 18-wheelers. From fender benders to full-size giants, take it over to two decades of experience. Parker's Collision Center at 10479 Brockman Road, Mojave Valley. And for my Today in Music History, while we're playing this song, today in 1972, British glam rock act T-Rex kicks off their U.S. tour after their major hit, Bang a Gong.
Interesting.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
And Ellen, happy Umbrella Day to you, my friend.
Happy National Umbrella Day.
Yes.
I think that's going to be a feature every week.
Not that we need it here in Lake Havasu.
Every once in a while.
Yeah, it does rain with the monsoon.
as we pick up this segment, you know, I want to apologize to Dr. Paul for one reason and one reason only. Well, many reasons sometimes. The main reason I want to apologize to you is that we get into heated, passionate arguments over things. And sometimes I'm so passionate that I just jump all over you. And I want to apologize for that. I jump on you meaning stopping your words in mid-sentence. I'm going to do my best to try and not do that. Okay? Do you accept my apology?
I do.
Awesome.
I do.
So, Dr. Paul, law enforcement.
Let me cut you off and see what happens.
Go ahead. Dr. Paul, I wanted this segment to specifically talk about the left's and the radical left in most cases, defund the police, et cetera. Right. I believe we have a call, though, prior to that. Hello, caller. You're on the air at Common Ground.
Good morning. I'd like to offer a compromise. I've been thinking for a while about this issue.
And what is that compromise?
In a compromise, no one really gets what they want.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, I think work permits could be the answer. Any adult that's in the country and feels like they're hiding in the shadows could apply for a work permit. Let's say the first one is 2 years. They check in every year with a judge, and the judge monitors their progress, their ability to provide for the economy and themselves.
Well, I think that's a great idea, a great compromise. Mm-hmm. The only issue that I would have with that is the ancillary issue with the family members. So if you have an individual, go ahead.
Pardon me, I didn't catch that.
What I'm saying is, it's good for a man who's going to be working or a woman who's going to be working every day, but they're not just alone. They're usually here with their families. How do we handle the family aspect of the permit, so to speak? Do they get temporary work visas? Do they get temporary allowances to stay in our country legally?
Kids go to the schools.
Well, I think we need to start with adults. And this would eliminate a lot of the aggression from ICE, because the person has either signed up for a work permit or they are here illegally for nasty intent.
Well, that's the whole problem with this particular option is that the ones who are really violent, the ones who are doing illegal activity, they're not going forward to file for anything. They're not going to go to the authorities to get a permit or to be vetted. They want to stay in the cracks, in the shadows, and do what they do. And that's sad.
That's my point. If ICE recognizes that an individual cannot prove that they were vetted and allowed into the country and they've refused a work permit, it reverses the incentive for illegal individuals in our country is to sign up for a work permit to avoid being deported.
I get it, and I appreciate your call, and you call us again because you like calling us and we enjoy your calls.
I like your idea.
Thank you.
It's an interesting
so
idea.
No problem. Thank
so
you.
here's the deal on that. I broached this a while back, a number of months ago. If they told, it's almost like an amnesty program. Mm-hmm. If you told every single undocumented alien, say, we're going to set up hundreds and thousands of different stations for you to sign up. You tell the people, you have 90 days.
Right.
You come and sign up with us. We get you into the system, who you are, where you came from, where you live, what you do. Then the ones who are criminals, who do not want to be identified, who do not want to be part of the system, they will not go to these centers, and when they get pulled over or stopped by an authority and they don't have their papers, please, they don't have their documentation, they're automatically out, period, end quote.
Right.
And then all the other ones who went forward have they won't have to look over their shoulders. They have papers saying, I'm in the system now. It may take 6 or 7 years for them to get in front of a judge, but they're vetted in a way that they're in the system.
So you're agreeing with this fella.
I am, but in a more expansive way. Get everybody, set up centers all over the country, hundreds and thousands of them.
And I think that was Reagan's plan.
Sign them all up.
What Reagan had talked about.
Sign them up. I want to know who you are, where you came from, where you're going, where you work, what your family members are. And then, as long as you do that, you don't have to worry about ICE. You don't have to worry about the police. You don't have to worry about immigration officials. You have your papers. Now, when I said papers, please, back in the old Nazi Germany days, and I'm not propagating any of that.
Thank you.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, either you had your papers or you didn't. And the people who didn't have the papers, according to their policies, were against the German people, okay, because they didn't have papers, okay? We need people to have papers here. Now, you know about the voluntary return policy. You're aware of that, right? So the voluntary return policy, which was implemented recently and has also been in other administrations, states that we'll give you an airplane ticket. We'll give you money to get there.
$1,000.
And we'll get you a crop back to your home country and then go back and file paperwork properly.
Yeah, I like it.
That's nice.
So the voluntary, and it's very popular. You do it online, on your phone. You can do it in person. They pay you to leave.
The only problem with it, Scott, is what you were originally said, is that people are afraid to come to the authorities right now. Of course, the authorities are
created a bad vibe. We've created a bad situation. But the realistic aspect is it.
The violence.
It is tough for people to gain the trust back.
It really is.
Yeah.
And so we need to have a broadcast, a national broadcast with unity from both parties stating, look, this is the new way forward. Whether it's the way I broached it of having people come and sign up in centers all over the country, but we need to have some form of unity in both parties in the administrations to get them to come forward and to not say, hey, we're going to sign you up and deport them.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah. We're not sending them to camps.
We could use Paul's idea, too, Paul Lavoie's idea, the putting a national in front of it and calling it nice.
No. And I don't think nice. I don't think anything is going to solve the ICE situation. There's bad blood, but how stupid are we in our world right now? Where, as we were talking before, Nancy Guthrie. It's just like, remember Elon Musk and every day with
Tesla's
Elon
burning.
Musk. Yeah, whatever the flavor of the week is. So we've been spending 10 days now talking about the abduction or potential abduction and kidnapping of Nancy Guthrie.
That was my reaction.
Terrible.
Now here we are. Nobody's talking about ICE really. It's been put on the back burner.
They are in Oregon.
Well, I'm talking nationally.
Yeah.
Until the funding comes up.
The agenda
is coming up. Yep.
Well, the agenda-oriented media, that's just the way it is. But I think the solution for law enforcement right now is to bring down the temperature.
Yep.
We need to pull back ICE and get and work out a cohesive strategy between the local officials, the state and local government, and federal government to work in a cooperative way so we can put a better face on law enforcement.
So what do you think about this, Scott? I'm gonna put out a little idea here.
I want to hear it.
Okay. Teflon and Velcro.
Okay.
Okay. What I'm thinking happening in our brainwashing is every negative thing you've ever said and ever heard is like Velcro. You just can't get rid of it. It sticks.
Okay.
Right?
Teflon.
Teflon.
Let it slide off.
Teflon, any good thing that you've heard about what this president does or other people do or what's good about America or what's good about any administration is like Teflon. It just doesn't even stick. You don't remember it.
Do you know why?
And there's so many better things that are happening than bad things.
Absolutely.
They're like Velcro.
It's the media, mostly.
Well, not just the media. There's something called the negativity bias. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes.
So back... The negativity bias started when people were,
exactly
cavemen and before living in the savannah, where your life expectancy was 25 years.
Right.
Okay, and people had to stay alive any way they could. It was life or death every single day of their lives. So they have built in something called a negativity bias, where most people believe and remember the negative things more than the positive things. There's a military adage: 1-0 crap cancels out 100 attaboys. Okay, what does that mean? You could do 100 good things, but you make one mistake, that's all they'll talk about, is the one mistake.
Right.
So the negativity bias that you were talking about, Dr. Paul, is the fact that the negative stuff sticks, the positive stuff slides off.
And see, I like your idea. The only thing that gets in the way is that we've been brainwashed. And you'll hear, when we get callers, it's almost always going to be about, you know, not the Teflon. It's going to be, am I holding on to about old ideas? It's going to be old
the
things
Velcro.
That stick. It's going to be the Velcro.
Well,
and I'll guarantee you they're not going to let go of that Velcro unless... one of the things that Scott and I talked about a long time ago that I'd like to ask the audience and ask you guys is, what are you willing to give up your beliefs? What are you willing to give up?
We'll talk about that in our coming last session, and we'll talk about our common ground that we had, and I want to ask Melissa a question about her Salem, Oregon.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for listening to Common Ground on KNTR Talk Radio, 106.75 and 3.
Voice of the free.
Thank you. We'll catch you here in a minute. We are back. Are we back, Melissa?
We are. And, during the break, I was talking to Dr. Paul, and he is a forensic psychologist, and he worked at the prisons, and he's come from a law enforcement family.
Yeah.
He worked with the inmates, though.
Sure did.
Were they running the asylum?
No. No. It was a pretty orderly place, a pretty safe place to work.
Yeah.
You were talking about Guthrie, and I was thinking, as I was waiting for you guys, one of the things that happened on the first day was it said something like this. Listen, welcome, but we have a no hostage policy here. If you're taken hostage or kidnapped, you're on your own.
Well, they don't want to, because it propagates more.
They don't want to negotiate, and this is what's happening with Guthrie. First thing the family did was they went
negotiate,
and they should not have done that. I don't think
they wanted their mom.
And that's where it's all crazy, and that's why we're hearing so much about it. They should not have done that. Let the professionals do it.
So on the note of common ground,
on the second day, they trained us all in arms so that we could protect each other. And I finally said to the group I was being trained with, I said, listen, if there's a problem, let the inmates have me, because I don't trust any of you secretaries and receptionists and everybody else to learn how to use a gun in the last couple of days to save me. And I wouldn't trust me to save you, so I'll take my chances with them.
Well,
interesting.
We got a couple minutes. We got a few minutes today, and I want to talk real briefly about the fact that there's such a lack of trust in government on both sides. You have issues that should be a slam dunk winner for all of America that don't get through Congress or the Senate or the President's desk because of the division. There's commonality that should be, common ground that should be obvious to all of us, but it's not anymore. Yeah. It's I hate you, you hate me.
Why do you think that is, Scott? Because I'm going to tell you why I think it is.
Well, I think it's been growing over a number of years. I remember so vividly Newt Gingrich and Bill Clinton working together. And my first voting administration was Reagan and Tip O'Neill.
Tip O'Neill. Yeah.
These people could get along and pass legislation. So here we are with this great division. And I'm going to go to Melissa on this one. I believe that a lion's share of it has been propagated and pushed by the media.
Media. Mm-hmm.
Okay. It is, and then it has been, the baton was handed to the different administrations and different parties, and they ran with it. Okay, and I think that there's such hatred on both sides and such vitriol that...
And we're just brainwashed.
Well,
it's all this is brainwashing.
Well, it's the flavor of the week. We're being spoon-fed our information every day.
That's what happens. Yeah.
And so here we are.
So I've got this idea. Let me start,
go ahead.
You think about this. If you call yourself a news broadcast... And you put out false news or opinions and radical ideas.
They've been getting sued.
And you're putting those out. You should be liable for
them. They've been getting sued left and right, number one. Number two, they never say their news anymore. It's opinion journalism.
That's what that's.
Mm-hmm. It's not news. You have a show.
It shouldn't be called news.
It's the Five show. Yeah. It's Hannity's show. It's Rachel Maddow's show. These are just shows.
But it's on what network?
Well, it's on Fox, it's on CNN, and MS Now is the new name that they call it. It's on all networks. Listen, you think about this in reference to the police. You don't think that these guys sit around a table and they have their staff, their research staff, going over things to find out what's going to be on the next news broadcast. And you don't think that they find things that are going to be inflammatory to get people to tune in? It's all about watchers and listeners. It's ratings. If you go on the Fox News website, for example, every month, same thing. We obliterated CNN and MS Now. We had the highest ratings ever, best demographic. When did it become about that? So in reference to the ICE.
And I think it's been relatively recently. You don't think so. But
I think it's the last five years.
Here's my idea. We're not putting America first.
No.
We're putting our parties first. We're putting our prestige first. We're putting our re-elections first. We're putting our people first.
Well,
we're putting, fundraising first. But
sure.
We're not putting America first.
What's the number one job of a politician?
To get re-elected.
That's right.
Yeah.
So think about this. The whole reason I'm doing this show with my co-host here and with my guests is to hopefully someday we could get thousands of people of different political persuasions linked arm in arm on a march on Washington to demand that the politicians start working for us instead of the parties. Period.
Right.
That is the whole goal of my doing this, is to try to bring people together to be agents of change. A real simple sounding concept, but very difficult to achieve. Here's the thing.
Okay.
I love you.
Yeah.
You were friends.
Yes.
And I love your opinions, and we don't fight.
No.
We don't argue. We don't yell at each other or denigrate each other. We need thousands of people like us to come together
to work together
to make a better America.
Yeah, no attacking, no mudslinging.
I tell folks that every time that you walked into a Fox News, I said they've treated me nothing but courteously.
Right.
These are good people. We just see things different.
And you kind of opened my eyes. I had not looked at it the way that you look at it as far as the ICE being weaponized. I had not considered that perspective, I suppose.
Well, I was listening to an Eagles song on the way here, and I thought, this is perfect. It said something like, you see it your way, I see it mine, and we both see it slipping away.
Right.
That was the line.
So
you see it your way, I see it mine, but it's slipping away.
And see it slipping
and
away.
And we still got the media throwing gasoline on all the fires.
So here's we got about a minute or two left. So the common ground that I think that all of us can agree on is that we want to, once again, to live in a safe environment, to feel safe, to be free and be safe.
Yes.
The agitators who are pushing hard on the protests in different cities, in Minnesota, for example, and the response of the ICE officials in that, neither of them are appropriate. Okay, I must tell you, how do you defend yourself? Do you run people over? Do you shoot them? Or do you stand your ground and defend yourself? The protesters who are pushing and pushing, they're not right either. So the common ground that I think we'll all find is that we all want to be safe. We all want to have a good life for our families. And we don't want people to be randomly hooked up and sent to jail. So we're going to be talking about this probably another time in another show as we wrap up this last session of Common Ground on KNTR 106.7, 5, and 3.
Voice of the free.
We love you guys. Keep listening.
Thanks for coming, Dr. Paul. See you next Tuesday.
They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. Eat the cat. Eat the cat. They're eating the cats.
All right, stay tuned because on Speak Out today, we will have Gabby Vera and Jody Segesser in the studio to talk about a new voter program that is going to go into effect this year. Catch you next Tuesday.
And ABC News did reach out to the city manager there. He told us there had been no credible reports of specific claims of pets being harmed, injured, or abused by individuals within the immigrant community. Let me just say here, this is
the people on television. My dog was taken and used for food. So maybe he said that, and maybe that's a good thing to say for a city manager.
I'm not taking this from television.
But the people on television, the dog was eaten by the people that went there.
This is KNTR Talk KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.